Blog Talk Radio.
All right. It is that time again, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for the Two Guys Soccer Show with Mike and Stead, brought to you, as always, this week by the fine folks down at Flanagan's Harp and Fiddle, 4844 Cordell Avenue in Bethesda, Maryland. Maryland's favorite venue for watching live sports and music. So, I am Mike, and I'm joined, as I am each and every week, by Stead. Stead, say good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to catch up with you.
How you doing? How you feeling this weekend?
Feeling okay. I think I need another about a week and a half, and I should be ready to get back to my old self again. The arm's healing up, and I'm doing my exercises and getting off the Tylenol. So a couple weeks, man, I'll be good to go.
Well, just because you're on the shelf doesn't mean that the world soccer is on the shelf. So we start this show as we always do. Let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly this week. What do you think about this week in world football, Mr. Stead?
Well, even though my Gunners are on a nice 5-game win streak in the Premier League and have bumped all the way back into now, I believe, 6th place, tied with Spurs, I'm going to stay home for this week, and my good is the 5 spot that United put up on Montreal Impact. Now, this is not a good from a perspective of a impartial soccer enthusiast. This is from a fan. That was wonderful to see. That was wonderful. I had talked about this game for the past couple of weeks, and I talked about how this was going to be a good test to see, is DC United a playoff team? Can DC United really step up and play against a squad that really, really is you know, their form hasn't been bad. They've been playing pretty well. They dropped a tough game to Toronto, but they beat New York, they beat Philly, and they had a draw with New York City FC. So they're in pretty decent form. And for DC to come in there and really, yes, it is at home. Yes, they've got this great home streak going. Yes, they're playing so many games at home in a row because of the way the stadium situation worked out. But as a fan, you got to be excited seeing that game. And they weren't getting garbage goals. Maybe the Wayne Rooney goal at the end when he chipped the goalie, but the goalie was out of position. But they were getting really, really strong team goals with open field passing. I was surprised. It didn't look like MLS goals to me. I was like, whoa, this is a step up over here. I was excited. It was really good to see. And I just wish that it was just easier to access these games on television, because I had to really do some digging in order to find it online. But it was fun, and I enjoyed it, and I wish I could have been there for that one. So that's my good, and I'm just gonna pat my fandom on the back this week.
DC United is sitting pretty well in the MLS form table right now, and this was a big win for them. 5 goals certainly helps the goal differential. In fact, mm-hmm. it puts them on the plus side for the first
yep.
time all season.
Yep.
And most importantly, you picked up 3 points against
mm-hmm.
your playoff rival.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now sitting just 2 points out of the 6th and final MLS Eastern Conference playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
38 points to Montreal's 40. But more importantly than that, they have 2 games in hand over Montreal.
Yes. 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 Yes, that's the big kicker right there, because even with New England Revolution sitting behind them in 8th with 35 points, they have a game in hand over New England as well. And as you pointed out last week, was my mistake, but the win column, DC's got 2 more wins than New England as well. So that gap is widening a little bit. But the 2 games in hand over Montreal is it's the plate is made for DC right now. It's there. It's theirs for the taking. And if they don't qualify, it's all their fault. And they blew it. That's just what it is. They blew it. Because it's right there. You got 2 games in hand. You pretty much have proven that you can play with anybody in the Eastern Conference right now. And your playoff rival this particular season, you blew out. Blew them out. DC, it's there. You got to take it. Got to take it.
So they're looking at Chicago
mm-hmm.
this weekend, this Sunday.
Right.
Next Who's Saturday, they've got Dallas coming.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a game on the 17th against Toronto, who are
mm-hmm.
out.
Yeah.
They've got a game the following Saturday against DC United, or against NYCFC,
mm-hmm.
who have been slumping lately.
Right.
And then they wrap up on the road to Chicago, all of which are fairly winnable games.
Right. You're looking outside of Dallas, none of those teams are playoff teams. Other than, of course, New York City FC, who you said was slumping, of course, which we talked about last week. Yeah.
So those are all imminent. Contrast this to Montreal, who has Columbus coming in,
mm-hmm.
the third team. They've got the Canadian Derby against Montreal, and then they go on the road to close out the season against New England.
Mm-hmm.
It is there for DC United to take.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given the way that they started the season, for them to be in this position is testament to the impact of Wayne Rooney. I mean, that was mm-hmm. the biggest change. That was one of the two biggest changes that they made.
Right.
One, moving into Audi Field, getting
mm-hmm.
a new home park, all the bells and whistles
mm-hmm.
was big.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more importantly was Wayne Rooney. I think
yeah.
that team that played at the beginning of the season, you could have put them in any place and they still would have pretty bad.
Right.
Wayne Rooney come in and he has just elevated the level of play.
Yeah.
Brace, you see how he's assisting teammates, his hustle,
yep.
his work ethic.
Yep.
He's come in and he's really changed the way that Ben Olsen coaches this team, the way that they play. And he's like a good player, like a captain should,
right.
elevated the level of the players around him.
Mm-hmm.
This is vintage Wayne Rooney. This is the Wayne Rooney that we were used to seeing
yes.
at Manchester United in his heyday. Marauding
right.
through the clever passes, you know, even the chipping the goalkeeper for the goal, that's that scorer's instinct that made him Manchester United's leading goal scorer.
Right.
So I think that, yeah, they're a dangerous team right now.
Right.
And
I can't say enough about Wayne Rooney right now either. I cannot say enough about him. In fact, my only thing that's concerning me about this is, as we said before, he's still 32. I don't want some Premier League team to see this and go, wait a minute, Wayne's got a lot left. We need to bring him back and then take him off of DC United.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think his European career is done.
Right.
You know, and it was a great one. I mean, anytime
yeah, absolutely.
You leave, like Manchester United as their leading goal scorer, you've had a fantastic career.
Absolutely.
But we saw him in his last year with Manchester United, pretty much
mm-hmm.
his last 2 years with Manchester United,
mm-hmm.
and that final season with Everton, just looking like he no longer had the legs
right.
for Europe. I
mm-hmm.
could see possibly going back, going to Italy, but I doubt at this point he's going to want to make a move.
Right.
He's really having be enjoying.
I was
going to
say, yeah, he looks like he's having fun. You know, the way after the goals, how he's hugging his teammates and picking them up and they're jumping on his back and he's smiling. You know, he looks like he's like he's found that love of the game again. Not that he lost it or anything, but he didn't have that joy in his face when he was playing for Everton. And it was actually easier for me to watch him playing for Everton because those games are easier to find than the United game sometimes. But yeah, you see the glee in his face again, and that's been really enjoyable to see. I mean, you're talking about a guy who for years hated Wayne Rooney because of the way he would destroy the teams I supported, and now I get to root for him. So I'm loving every minute of this, and I see his contract. He's got a 3-year contract. I hope he stays those full 3 years and give me a chance to really watch him because I'm really gonna enjoy it.
I can't – he's making pretty good money. I
yeah.
can't see him leaving and going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's really a market for him back in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, the only potential move would be to Italy, where the pace of the game is a little bit slower. But I
right.
can't see him going to Juventus. I can't see him going to AC Milan.
Yeah, Inter or Napoli or something. Yeah, I can't see that either.
And given how the emphasis in Italy is on youth buying, for most of the teams, getting younger players who have some sort of resale value, it'd be very, very surprising to see him leave.
Right.
So that's I think you're going to get your time. With
good. Good.
Now, as far as you looking for the games, most of them are on the CW. It seems like that's who has the
right
TV contract for them. But
yeah, I've had to update my cable.
Yeah. Well, for cord cutters, it makes it a little bit different.
Difficult. Yeah. Right.
That's been one of the big things has been the need. One of the big issues for MLS has been the need for these teams to go out and negotiate these local deals. Unlike in the Premier League, at least internationally and even domestically, you have that broadcast package where the league has negotiated it. They do have to deal with ESPN, but most of the teams are left to their own devices to negotiate these television contracts.
Right.
And I think it hampers the ability of fans to see them because they aren't on some of the big networks, you know, and you are on the CW or whatever some of the smaller, more local networks are.
Yeah. It would be nice to see them be able to get a kind of streaming package together though. I mean, soccer fans who really want to watch the game have, I mean, we've been pretty tech savvy for a while because that was the only way we were able to watch games for so long. So it would be nice if they could get some sort of, you know, I'm not going to say Amazon, but just for an example, like an Amazon type of thing where I know Fubo TV shows them all, but you know, that's a little bit more expensive, but it's their option.
ESPN Plus shows them all as well.
Yeah. That's true.
But you got to look for them. And more and more, even for the big teams, it's becoming a pay-per-view issue again. For example, you know, Manchester United's game against Wolves last week was only available on that NBC Gold
package.
That
was on that Gold package, right. You know,
you're going to have to look at Bleacher Report Live and pay $3 a game for some of the Champions League games coming up tomorrow and Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we're going back to this pay-per-view model, which that was how it was in the late 90s, early aughts. I thought we had gotten over that, but they seem to identify, and television companies seem to identify soccer fans as being cord cutters.
Right.
And have pushed us more onto the streaming networks, it seems like.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how this continues to go.
Right.
With the as we renegotiate these network broadcast rights.
Yeah.
But,
all right. Well, enough about my good. What was your good for this week, my friend?
My good for this week was Borussia Dortmund. Down 2-0 in the 65th minute against Bayer Leverkusen. Come back and win 4-2 to take the lead in the Bundesliga because Bayern Munich was winless last week. And surprisingly, we now have, albeit early, competition.
Yeah.
The Bundesliga and La Liga.
And La Liga.
Where we didn't necessarily think that we were going to.
Right.
You know, right now, Borussia Dortmund's up on Bayern Munich. You got Barcelona and Real Madrid, who both, and I think you might talk about this a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Both enduring a little bit of some mini slumps.
Yeah.
Sevilla,
right.
The surprise.
Sevilla put a hurt on them. They put a hurt on them. Yeah.
Sitting third in La Liga to start.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up, too, because when you look at the standings, too, when it would already be this, let's look at Serie A. Serie A is taking shape of what I expected the other leagues to take shape, where you have Juventus at 21 points, and the next closest team is at 15 points, and they've only played 7 matches, where you're looking here, though, at La Liga, where you only have 4 points separating first and eighth place. You look at the Bundesliga, and you only have, what is it? you only have 3 points separating first and sixth place. So even though it's early, but it's, you're right though, it gives some excitement to the league from a from the farther perspective, where, you know, I may not catch too many Bundesliga games throughout the year, but seeing these standings are going to take the soccer fan like me, and they're going to draw us more to their leagues because of the competition, because I don't really have a Bundesliga team. I don't have a Serie A team. I don't have a La Liga team. This is what's going to get my eyes on watching those leagues. So, yeah, good on you, Borussia Dortmund. Way to get that win, and way to go top table. And you know we're going to support a team like Borussia Dortmund, who's had a couple of Americans come through their midst, and currently one right now, so that's exciting.
Now, you really want to get a good one. Yeah, it's not the biggest league in the world, but I do enjoy paying attention to it. How about the SPL? Hearts. 5 points clear at the top.
Yes! That is Celtic. Crazy!
Celtic has already lost more games this year than they had in the previous two seasons combined.
Right, right.
Six points back after seven mm-hmm. games.
And right, you're now, looking at – no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right now they're not even in the European places in the SPL.
No, they're in 6th and 6th. It's amazing.
This will, of course, change. The last team to win the SPL that was not Celtic or Rangers was Sir Alex Ferguson's Aberdeen team.
Aberdeen team, yeah. Yeah.
So that tells you just how dominant the old firm has been.
Yeah.
And Celtic has, I think, now 7, 8, 9 straight that they've won.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, that has been the epitome of a one-team league. And I think before too much longer, we'll start to see Celtic reemerge
right.
as a dominant team. But at least there is some interest. You know, Hearts and Hibs were pretty interesting teams last year as well.
Right.
What I'm really loving is Livingston sitting in third place right now.
Right.
Tied with Hibs, only behind on goal differential. So, again, another surprisingly competitive league in Europe.
Right.
Even if it is one that we don't necessarily always pay attention to.
Yeah. But you're also looking at Motherwell sitting down at the bottom, too. And Motherwell is usually one of the teams that's in, like, the top half. You know, then after you get the Celtic Rangers draw, then you kind of have the Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen, Motherwell. And so, yeah, you're getting a little bit more parity over there. Hopefully that'll hang around for a little while.
It'll be interesting to see how this continues. Again, I think that it's going to trend towards Celtic and Rangers. You know, Celtic focused on their the Europa League. That's their big draw. They've got to stay in that competition.
Mm-hmm.
Having dropped out of the Champions League for the first time in a long time prior to the group stage. So big loss there for them. But I think as we get more in towards the fall, winter, they'll start reemerging as the team. They just have so much talent because of their presence in Europe. They're able to attract talent and spend money and afford players that no other team in Scotland can. And, I mean, credit to Stevie Gerrard at Rangers, but he just does not have the talent right now. They don't have income that Celtic does. And even Celtic, I've always said I thought that they could do more to monetize the brand than they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's hard to go. You can go into any Irish bar, Irish, Scottish, English pub in any major city, and there is a Celtic supporters club.
Yeah, absolutely.
And those guys are more loyal than any of the big teams.
Right, you know, absolutely.
They'll regularly have 5, 10, 15 people out for 7:30 matches that you have to stream on the internet.
Right.
It's kind of ridiculous, the support that they have over here. I think they should do more with it. If I were Celtic, I'd be over here pretty much every preseason playing games. Because
well, and Celtic used to come over. They played Arsenal – or not Arsenal, excuse me. They played DC United twice, I think at least twice. And this is, of course, when the Freddie Adu years were going on at DC United. But, yeah, I remember going to those Celtic games, and it was – I mean, it was Celtic fans through and through RFK Stadium. So, yeah, the followers are there, absolutely. plus with Celtic, this is the time that they kind of they really should do more of that, because you know Rangers have never really fully recovered from the financial crisis they had, you know, over a decade ago. They're still climbing out of that.
It wasn't just one financial crisis. It was a series
Yeah, it was like three of them. It was like one after another. They just kept having problems.
And they've struggled, you know, making it back up through the lower leagues. But they hadn't won anything since their, I guess, rebirth of the new Rangers football club.
Right.
My Celtic supporters' friends would disown me if they heard me actually refer to Rangers by name. But this Stevie Gerard gambit is just that, you know, get some sort of positive momentum surrounding the team. And I'll tell you what, those Old Firm derbies are some of the most passionate, some of the fiercest rivalry games that you can watch. And I've always enjoyed watching them.
Absolutely. That's a bucket list game for me. I would love to see an Old Firm game at one of those states.
I would too.
At Ebrox and Malta, I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
And again, this is me as a non-Celtic supporter, somebody who's not fully indoctrinated into the culture. But, you know, I'm thinking, like, why couldn't you do something like that over here?
Yeah.
I bet you that would sell.
Yeah.
And I know that they are not big enough to kind of warrant inclusion into the ICC every year, but there's certainly opportunities for them in this country that if I were them, I would be capitalizing on. I think the biggest issue for them is because they have to play so many playing games to get into the Champions League, they almost can't take that preseason tour anymore because they're they're starting Champions League qualification rounds
in late July. Yeah.
Mid-late July. They were actually playing a Champions League qualifier, friendly, because they had a Champions League qualifier while the World Cup was still going on.
Right. Yeah.
So their season has to start incredibly early. So
good
there, you know, league competition, some fresh blood at the top of the table as we enter about the 20% mark of most league seasons. So good to see some new faces. Hopefully they can hang on. Hey, every once in a while you need a Leicester City.
You really do. You're absolutely right. And that Leicester season was magical. I mean, granted, it was a little bittersweet because it was very bitter, actually, because that was Arsenal's best finish was that season. And they actually they beat Leicester twice. Two of the three losses were against Arsenal. And I was more invested in that season than any season I can really recall, just because they kept having those 1-0 wins after another. And you just kind of knew that, like, you know, you kind of knew with about 10 games left, like, they're going to pull this off. And that, like, there wasn't, like, there wasn't much shock value when they won it. Cause I don't know. It just seemed like everyone's like this, they're going to, like, they can't lose. Like their defense was extremely stout. You looked at a guy who looks like he could play middle linebacker in Captain Morgan. They got playing defense. He could play middle linebacker for a football team as big as he is. And he played every minute of the Premier League, and that defense was extremely stout. And so you can make these runs. It happened. I can only imagine what the Blackburn run was like back in the mid-90s in the Premier League. So, yeah, you need a Leicester every now and then. It's even better when it's not like an Atletico Madrid, who, if it's not Barcelona or Real Madrid, it's Atletico. You know, it's nice when it's like a totally another team. Like, it would be great to see Valencia get back in there and get one. Or even Sevilla, even though they have trophies. Sevilla's got plenty of trophies. It'd be nice to see one of those teams get one.
Back when Atletico Madrid won the first under Diego Simeone, they were kind of bouncing back from some really lean years as well.
Yes, they were.
So it was kind of a surprise to see them break up that duopoly. Because Barcelona and Real Madrid had been and continue to be just so dominant. But anytime you get new blood, it's good. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this season progresses.
Yeah.
So let's move on. Let's talk about some bad real quick. What was your bad?
Well, my bad's Montreal. I mean, really? Really? I don't know. I feel like they had to have the same realization that DC United had or any other team that's in that situation is going to have. It's there is a team that's surging. We are fighting for our playoff lives. We are up by 2 wins, 5 points, but we've played 2 more games than they've played. And they made the first half interesting, but the second half, I don't know. You would expect more from a team that was in that position. And it's because it's the playoffs, I can look at it from an American perspective, and I can look at it, I can compare it to other sports and like that. And you never want to be that team that gets blown out like that right at this point in the year, right? Because let's say they do happen to make the playoffs. And let's say DC just decides to they just skid and not make it. No one's going to worry about Montreal, especially if they have to go on the road. And I said before, their form hasn't been poor recently. Their form has been pretty adequate. But with a run of tough games to finish their season, you had to show more than that. Maybe they just packed it in and said, forget it, we're going to lose this game. Let's just focus on the other 3 games we have at the end of the season. But I don't know. That was – if I was a Montreal supporter, I would be livid right now. I really would. That's my bad. Even as a DC United fan, it was fun to watch. I was hoping for a bit more of an exciting game.
They were coming in off the strength of 3 pretty good performances.
Yeah, they played well recently.
Getting New York Red Bulls in Montreal 3-0, 4-1 over Philadelphia in Philadelphia, 1-1 against NYCFC, and then to get the doors blown off, kind of. You want to say a freak result, but this is a team that has given up goals throughout the course of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking back at some of their results, they've had a couple of shootouts. They've had some ones. You know, there was the one earlier in the year when they got beat 5-1 by LAFC, 5-3 by LAFC. You know, 4-1 versus Atlanta. In April, they've had a couple of games where their defense just has not necessarily shown up like it was supposed to.
Right, right.
And more so on the road, especially. So that's got to be concerning for Montreal Impact supporters.
Yeah. I have one more bad I'd like to throw in there, though. Just one more.
Mm-hmm.
I've felt terrible for that Philadelphia Union defender, what's his name, Trusty, who hit in that own goal in that cup final.
That was going to be my ugly for the week. Was
okay.
That
I felt so bad for that poor kid, man.
Yeah, I thought just the whole game though. The Union looked lethargic.
Yeah.
They looked like they did not have a game plan, and they weren't able to attack and get the ball into key areas. It looked like CJ Sapong was carrying most of the threat going forward, and they weren't able to get the ball into the center, to center the ball and get some quality opportunities. They had a couple of great opportunities on set pieces that they weren't able to convert. It just looked like they got there and thought that they were going to win the game because they were the better team on paper.
Right.
But they weren't the better team when they got out on the pitch.
Right. Yeah. Huh.
So they become, and the ugly is, they become the first MLS team to ever lose 3 U.S. Open Cup finals.
Yeah. That's tough. That's tough. So, I felt bad for him. I was pulling for him. I really was. I wanted to see Philly get that cup. I thought that would be nice. Well, you want to just touch on that as you're ugly, just about that, talk about that a little bit more?
I almost feel like the less said about that, the better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Houston. It just looked like the own goal. I know I'm kind of sitting on this, but, you know, I really was watching his body positioning and his contact with the ball and the way he was square up to the goal. And, you know, that's a fundamental way you would have your striker finish a goal with an open net, you know, square up to the ball. It didn't even appear that he was trying to direct it another direction and it took away, like hit off his heel or hit his shin bone or something. That ball hit him square flush, like he was just putting a square pass right in the net. Turn around, celebrate with your homies. It was odd, and with the way he turned around and grabbed his hair, it was. I felt like he just kind of forgot where he was for a couple of seconds.
One of the things that this run that Philadelphia has been on in the league and getting to the U.S. Open Cup has kind of made us forget is that. Elliott and Trusty are the youngest center back pairing.
Absolutely, yeah.
In MLS right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a 19-year-old kid. Now,
yeah.
There are certainly better
young
teams to come. But that is as young a defense as you're going to see between him, Rosenberry, and Elliott. That's just about as young as you can get. Now, they have, you know, Ray Gaddis, the longest tenured player currently on the Union roster, was back and starting at right back for him. And certainly anytime you have Andre Blake, who's high in the running, probably with Zach Steffen for best goalkeeper in MLS, if not the best goalkeeper, full stop in CONCACAF, that can enable you to play that. And they got upfield and it was actually Elliott who was carrying some of the attacking threat on set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I was just surprised at how disoriented, lethargic they looked in attack against a team in Houston who has had some defensive failings.
Right.
I thought that they were at least going to be able to control the midfield more than they did. That looked like a problem. It was just an overall ugly performance for the Philadelphia Union at a time when you could ill afford to have it. You know, you don't want that to be what you put in what was the biggest game that they played in the season.
Yeah. To me, it looked like Philadelphia lost that game more than the Houston won it. Because I didn't get the sense that Houston was playing a great game either. You know, it didn't come off to me that way. It seemed like Houston was just waiting for Philly to make a mistake and then pounce. But
that's what Houston does.
That's just what they do, yeah.
That's been what their MO has been all year, is give possession and then hit quickly on the counterattack.
Yeah, well, it hasn't worked that well this season for them, so.
Well, they've been chopping and changing. Injuries have absolutely decimated that team. As much luck as they had staying healthy last year, they haven't played the same starting back four since the early part of the season. Their midfielders have been hurt. It was only their attacking three that has remained relatively healthy this whole entire season. And I think you saw what they were capable of doing. It's just been an off season for them.
Yeah, well, and they walk away with a trophy. So, you know, it's not a total loss, you know. You walk away with a trophy, you got to be happy with that.
This was their season. This was what they had. This is all they had. They're out of the playoffs. This was what they had. And somehow, despite having an awful season in the league, they were able to put together this magical cup run. And full credit to them. They are the 2018 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open champions.
Yep.
Before move on to your ugly and my bad, I want to give a shout-out, as always, to Harp and Fiddle, our sponsors, as always, for this week. They'll be open early for the Premier League matches this weekend. And if you want to go in on Saturday night, they're going to be open for the Conor McGregor fight. You get to see the Irishman return to the octagon for the first time since he left to go fight.
Yes.
What's that
guy? This is his first time.
That Floyd Mayweather thing.
Yeah. I'm an MMA guy. This is his first MMA fight since he beat Eddie Alvarez, knocked him out in the second round for the title win at 155. And Conor McGregor Khabib is a big, big, big fight. This is, of course, a conversation for a different podcast, but I am psyched. I'm going to try to make it down to Harp and Field to watch this fight there. I would love to see it around a bunch of his supporters. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a great atmosphere. So if you're interested, head on down on Saturday night to 4844 Cordell Avenue in Bethesda. I bet you they put that fight on the big screen.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what was your bad for the week, my friend?
You can only go one direction with this. And it's sitting in 10th place right now in the Premier League, and that would be Manchester United. Three winless in their last three in the Premier League. Another disappointing performance on the weekend to West Ham in a 3-1 loss. Just the results and the culture around the club right now suggests full-blown crisis. Mm-hmm. And it looks eerily reminiscent of the end of Jose Mourinho's second tenure at Chelsea.
Yeah.
And the signs have been there mm-hmm. for a while. You know, if you want to look, the signs have been there that this was going to end poorly for a while. You know, you can even go back to the summer when Jose Mourinho's top lieutenant, Rui Faria, left. He was kind of Jose's sounding board. He was the mm-hmm. one who ran interference for him. He was the one who caught a lot of the brunt and saved the players and kind of took the edge off of Jose's more dark tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
And his departure, I think, has left a major leak hole in that dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is a lack of leadership, of appropriate leadership, you know, with Michael Carrick now on the sidelines, not on mm-hmm. the field, not having his presence there on the training pitch. And then even in the field, he didn't play much last year, but he was at least around the team to help them mm-hmm. out. And it's just all seems to be coming apart at the seams. And the worst part about it is, and then you can even talk about his being Jose's demeanor on the tour and just how negatively he approached the U.S. tour. While Jurgen Klopp seemed to be enjoying it, he knew that he
right.
was on the best side. He was just, hey, look, we're going to go out. We're going to have fun. We've got some great support. Jose
right.
is bitter.
Yeah. He dumped on it the whole time. Yeah. He made it was no secret that he thought it was the biggest waste of time.
And that negativity has become infectious, and it's really dragging this season down. Now, they've got a Champions League game tomorrow at 3 against Valencia, who mm-hmm. have not gotten off to anything resembling a good start in La Liga. I mean, they picked up their first win of the campaign this weekend.
Yeah, they're sitting down at 14th, man. They're definitely not putting on any pressure on anybody in La Liga.
Yeah, and so here is a game that you can win. They're going to be playing in Spain, so that gives you this game is in Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at home, but this is really an opportunity outside of the league to find some success, and we have to see where they go, but it just doesn't look like there are answers. And then today in his press conference, Jose talking about, you know, some players are interested, some players are not. And mm-hmm. I have a problem with that. I just think that the shtick of throwing the players under the bus in an effort to motivate them is losing. It's wearing thin. The players are
right.
no longer having it. They're no longer. He has picked all the fights that there are to pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think short of Scott McTominay, there's nobody in that roster that hasn't caught it in the neck from Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that they are interested in playing for him anymore.
Right.
And United are not a team that normally makes changes in season until all has been lost. But
mm-hmm.
this could be an episode. This could be an instance where if you don't make the change now, by the time you get around to it, everything is lost.
Right.
And out of Europe next year, and you've isolated your key players so much that there is a mass exodus.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about guys in the last year of their contracts. You've got, you know, David De Gea,
mm-hmm.
Martial that you've got to deal with, Ander Herrera,
mm-hmm.
and
Valencia.
You know, he's isolated Alexis Sanchez by making him go down to London to the game, but then dropping him.
And then dropping him. Yep. That's what really, I will always be an Alexis Sanchez supporter just because of his Arsenal days, but also because of the way he plays the game and the energy he brings on the field and how much he loves to play. And to do that was, that was a real, just kind of a Bush League move, I thought. And, you know, no love, also obviously no love lost to the way he left Arsenal, but that was really petty. And we know that Jose Mourinho has no problems being petty, at least in appearances. And you seeing the way he's talked about his star players, and you've talked about the possible mass exodus. And I really feel like this game against Valencia tomorrow is going to mean, I think it's going to mean almost his coaching career. Because if this happens again, this will be the third time for his last three jobs where year three has just been a fizzle and he's been out. And I can't see another big club at this point in his career with the knowledge of who he is as a coach. Because as you just said, the throwing your players under the bus, once you do that a few times, players know that that's just what you do, and it stops it stops being effective.
It also isolates players because they don't want to come and play for him. I think he lost up a lot this year in his own recruitment because players didn't want to go and deal with that.
Exactly. They don't want to deal with that. They're not going to want to play for you, and the players who are there aren't going to want to stay. So what big club is going to bring in Jose Mourinho? So, like, this game can really spell out a lot. If he goes out and I even think if he draws, that's bad. If he draws with Valencia at home, at this stage, with what's going on with the team recently, and, you know, I know the reports are out there about the contact with Zidane, but of course the media is they're gonna, if somebody said it in the bathroom at a pub, they're gonna go and report it. So,
well, that's
I don't really
just
know.
Obvious one. Jose Mourinho is in crisis. Manchester United may need a new coach. The best name, biggest name out there is Zinedine Zidane.
Exactly. But that being said, I do think that Jose's playing for his coaching future right now. I do.
Less than stellar, then he may not make it out of the. He may not make it past Wednesday.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
They've got to do something at this point because it's just not there. Mm-hmm. You know, the results, the fans are apathetic. There's no reason to get up and watch the games because you've seen it already.
Right.
And there's no spirit in the team. The hallmark of an Alex Ferguson team was that even if they went down, they still played until the final whistle.
Right.
This is a team that plods, that looks lethargic, that looks uninterested, looks incapable of playing with any attacking verve. There's no joy in watching them play. And we've seen it too many times over the last couple of years, you know, the game against Wolverhampton where they gave up after the loss to Derby County. Yeah, Marouane Fellaini came in and got a goal, but then they still went out, getting beat 3-1. Going back to last year's exit against Sevilla, where they just couldn't manufacture anything after going down. No sort of response.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's go get it. Let's just run.
Yeah.
Still slow, plodding. They made West Ham look like Arsenal.
Oh, nobody would have believed West Ham was sitting in 17th at the start of that game by the way they played. No way. You're exactly right. You're looking at that West Ham team going, wow, they were bottom table 2 weeks ago. And then you see that game against Manchester United. And you're right. Manchester United made them look that way. Absolutely. I mean, they got a goal in 5 minutes and they were just running the ball down their throats. I mean, it was not a Manchester United team that anyone's used to seeing. This is worse than when Fergie left and then they brought in David Moyes, because at least you saw some energy there. At least you saw them going, okay, we got a new coach. We're just trying to figure out something new. But this squad is extraordinarily talented. When you look at the names that play for this team, there is no way that this team should be performing like that on the field. But you're looking at, you have World Cup champions, you have Europa League champions, you have players who have with 50, 60, 70 caps for their country. They have League Cup titles. And, you know, 2 years ago, Jose Mourinho won 2 trophies. So,
yep.
And you have probably the best goalie in the world. It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. So let's get on to mm-hmm. your ugly, so we can take a look at some of this midweek action.
Sounds good. My ugly, we'll keep this really quick. I made an ugly face. I've been really on the Liverpool train. And Liverpool, I think they got brought back to earth a little bit with their Chelsea games. And Chelsea's looking like a legit, legit, legit team. It seemed those guys really like playing for Perry. Daniel Sturridge's goal in the 88th minute was just unbelievable. He managed to whip the ball up and down over a 6-3 goalkeeper with his outside foot. He didn't do the in swing, Philip Coutinho shot. He used his outside foot and dipped that ball right in there. That was amazing. He didn't even celebrate. He didn't even do his little dance. He just stood there and was like, I know everybody saw that. Got his 50th goal. That was ugly. I was like, oh my God. Did you see that?
Early goal of the season.
Absolutely.
Right there. Early goal of the season. And that was generally a good game. I mean, it
was
1-1.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought it was an entertaining game, lots of pace, lots of attacking. We saw the best of Eden Hazard. He's really mm-hmm. looking comfortable in this new system.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Sarri has turned Chelsea into Napoli, but with
mm-hmm.
better players.
Right. I'd love to see him smoke on the sideline, though. That'd be great.
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm waiting on. So as we have about, let's call it 13 minutes left, let's talk a little bit about what you're looking for in this midweek slate of Premier League games or Champions League games, and if there's anything you're looking forward to coming up this weekend.
Well, Champions League, this week looks a little – there's not really too many big games this week just from the team name. But you're looking at – Spurs-Barcelona, that's probably the big game of the week. Spurs hit a little dip. I know Spurs are probably sitting there thinking that they have replaced Arsenal as the fourth team in the Premier League, even though they are not even on points, and Arsenal's surging a bit as of late. And I think if they're playing this game at home, and granted, I think home is still Wembley for them, but if Spurs could get a dominant draw or a win, that would be good for them. And you're playing against the Barcelona team that's kind of struggling a little bit. And you see that, whenever Barcelona or even Argentina doesn't do well, all the blame gets thrown on Messi. And there are even reports that Maradona suggesting that Messi quit the national team and just focus on playing for Barcelona because why is everything his fault? And, he's probably right. I mean, they do put too much blame on him. But that's a big game this week. You got Dortmund and Monaco. That's also pretty exciting because, Dortmund's playing well. Monaco plays well in Europe as well. Those are the two games that sort of stood out for me. But also, Ajax is playing Bayern. And Ajax is another team with a great, great, great history in Europe. Finals at the Europa League a couple of years ago against Manchester United with a very, very young team. And that might be interesting. So that's what I'm looking forward to with Champions League this week.
I have my eye also on that Napoli-Liverpool game.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Sarri's not at Napoli anymore, but there's still some talent
mm-hmm.
on that Napoli team. And I think if Liverpool takes them lightly, which I don't expect that they will, Jurgen Klopp is pretty good at preparing a team,
mm-hmm.
that one could be interesting. I do like that Dortmund-Monaco game. You got some really good young players on both sides. How about that kid, Jadon Sancho, the Englishman playing for Dortmund? He can have himself a bit of a run, too. Good young player.
Absolutely.
It's going to be interesting to see him get into that England team.
Yeah, I like how some of these German teams are taking these young English players who aren't getting much burn in England, saying, hey, come over here and play. We'll give you some good run, and you're going to play in a good league.
Schalke at Lokomotiv Moscow. Interesting because Weston McKennie
mm-hmm.
getting some Champions League time.
That's right.
Another young American midfielder playing in the Champions League. So always good to see Americans. He was included in the call-ups for the upcoming October round of international fixtures in the U.S. team that was released today. Pulisic, Michael Bradley's back in there. Pulisic making his return to the U.S. team following the exit in the World Cup. And guess who's back? Brad Guzan, too.
Yeah, bald Brad is back. All right. Good stuff.
Sarakin said that he wanted to bring some of the older players back in to help push and mentor the youth. Certainly, in this October round, you got a game against Colombia and Peru, two World Cup teams from this summer. So tougher matches to play. Might be good to have some of those guys in there. But again, a couple of uncapped kids. One, a young defender for New York Red Bulls, getting his first call into the squad. Josh Sargent getting a call in too. We talked about him before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully the future of the U.S. men's national team at striker. So some good games in the Champions League this weekend.
Yep.
You know, looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, it gets an early start. You got West Ham and Brighton.
Right.
On Friday.
The big game, though, a big game this week is
Sunday.
Well, before Sunday, yes, I was going to get to Sunday, but I'm not sure you've noticed, but old Uncle Nuno keeps winning games. They're in ninth place, sitting there with 12 points, and they're going to go to Crystal Palace this weekend. And the way they're playing, Crystal Palace should be quite worried. You could see Wolves taking a nice little run here coming up. And, you know, they're really looking like a team that's going to be up, that they're going to stay up. They're probably not going to – they might even finish mid-table. So, you know, I love clowning Uncle Nuno, but, man, the guy can coach. He's winning some games, and his team looks – they look good. And that's really proving to be a tough place to play. Going into Wolves, that place is not fun. That's not fun to go to.
Nuno still looks like the cashier at the 7-Eleven.
He coaches football though, man. He can coach him,
he can coach some football, and they've got some good young talent on that team.
Yeah.
It's going to be most interesting how they keep that set up together. The
right.
owners have the money to compete, but I don't
right.
think the brand is large enough. To keep
exactly.
them, the players, or Nuno there for long.
Right.
I could see him getting a job. If they continue on this run, I can see him moving up relatively quickly.
Yeah. I could see him getting a big job at, you know, one of the big three in Portugal, or maybe a Sevilla type of team. I could see him getting one of those teams pretty quickly. Absolutely.
I think that he could be in line for a higher profile job in the Premier League.
You think so? Yeah.
We don't know now, but that managerial merry-go-round is going to get started in earnest. And I think I could see him hopping on. And you look at the success of like a Mauricio Pochettino coming up
right.
and what he has done. And teams are now looking for those coaches who can come into some of these teams and start building with young players, which is something that Nuno has done.
Right.
So he could be fine for a move up.
Yeah. And it looks like the guys really like playing for him too. You just see that team playing with a lot of energy, and after the games, you know, you see him hugging with his coaches and they hugging his players. You know, he's kind of got that Jurgen Klopp kind of feel to him, just from when you're looking at it from 50,000 feet. Of course, as you just brought up, we got the big game on Sunday. Why don't you jump on that big game on Sunday? Tell them what we got.
The first top the table class.
That's right.
Manchester
it's going to be exciting.
Travels to Anfield. Sunday, 11:30. That's going to be a good one to go in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This is setting up to be a pretty good Sunday. You can go in at 11:30. You can watch Man City play Liverpool and then hang out and watch some American football afterwards at 1.
Yep.
This is one of those ones that's weird because you want it to be a great game.
Right.
You can see it being a 0-0 draw.
Absolutely. That's what scares me. That's really what scares me, because I could see this being the game that really kicks off the run of, okay, now we're starting to see the table take shape. We're really starting to see what are the real teams going to be, who are the horses that are going to be around at the end. Or as we've seen so many times with these types of games, it could be two teams that just pass the ball back and forth to each other. There might be a few shots on goal, maybe one save, maybe two per goalie, and then they hug it out and walk off the field, each taking a point and just going, let's just go beat up on the rest of the league. So I hope that isn't what happens, just from a visual perspective, from a fan perspective, because that's supposed to be your exciting game. And yes, it's totally shaping up to be kind of a flop. And I think what's bad about that, I think one thing that could set this up, though, is with Chelsea and Southampton playing before, if Chelsea go out and really do a number on Southampton, I could see Liverpool or Manchester City saying, okay, we really, really have to get up a bit more for this game, because we haven't really talked about Chelsea. You know, I think this week's kind of the first week where we really gave them a little bit of shine on the Two Guys Talk Soccer podcast. But even when I watch the telecast, I don't see a lot of talk about Chelsea, you know, a bit about Eden Hazard, and of course the continued adulation for N'Golo Kante, but not a whole lot about Chelsea overall. So that will, I think, hopefully that will be a good game that'll set up the Liverpool Man City game.
Who needs this more, Liverpool or Man City?
Oh, Liverpool. Absolutely, Liverpool needs this more. They're playing at home. They need it more than Man City, because also the shine's already on Man City. Everyone expects Man City, and Liverpool's depth is going to be questioned. And, you know, some of our Liverpool buddies over at the pub have even said, you know, hey, I don't believe the hype. You know what I mean? Don't believe it. Liverpool's not that good. So I think Liverpool needs this really, really bad. Especially after losing to Chelsea.
I think Man City needs it more. Remember how they went out to Liverpool last year in the Champions League, that last league game. Liverpool right now, recently, has had their number.
True.
I know that Man City got them early in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, Liverpool went down a man, Sadio Mane got sent off, and that just opened the floodgates, and it was over for Man City. But then the way late in the season, Liverpool was able to just run over them in those two Champions games and league. I think those players remember that, and I know Pep Guardiola does.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if Liverpool get them again, that narrative continues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Pep can't deal with Jurgen Klopp. This team is flawed. They're good. They'll beat up on everybody, but they can't beat Liverpool. And you're going to have that narrative and those questions again. Can he compete in the Premier League? Can he compete in the Champions League, especially if he moves to this Liverpool team? I think Liverpool is playing with house money having this game at Anfield. They had the wobble against Chelsea.
Granted, that was a League Cup game. They lost. It was a League Cup game.
Cup game, and then this weekend. So Chelsea hasn't exactly been kind to them. This week hasn't been kind to them. Mm-hmm. But I certainly believe that it's Man City who needs this more.
All right, so fair enough. Weekend.
Well, that brings us to the end of our show. As always, a big thank you to Jenny and the fine folks down at Flanagan's Harp and Fiddle for keeping us on the airwaves and bringing us to you each week. Thanks again to producer Paul for making sure that all the mics are hot and keeping us on line and on time. Stead, parting words of wisdom as we go on to another week of soccer.
Interested in any other MLS playoff implications? We got LA Galaxy with a big game against Sporting KC. LA Galaxy sitting in a similar position in seventh place in the Western Conference. So that could be something to keep an eye on.
All right. Man United, Newcastle.
10 seconds.
Two managers who not exactly having a go of it, and guys with a history in Benitez and Mourinho. So once again, he's Stead. I'm Mike. This was the Two Guys Soccer Show. We did good this week. We'll do better next.
Good night, everybody.